You're listening to WCOM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro 103.5 FM. Freedom of expression is essential to a free society. And here we are with freedom of expression at Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater.
Yes, we are.
And Claudio, Renaissance man and bard of WCOM, has opened the doors of the Speakeasy to invite you all in to find a seat. Get comfortable in the place where you're always welcome and can always expect the very best. Claudio, what's up with you?
Good morning. I'm back in town, man. You make it sound like I do a lot of work before I get here. I'm just sitting down here on the stool being lazy.
You do a lot of work.
And I'd like to say good morning to the Fat Bastards. And, of course, I need to explain that. That's actually a blues band, which is led by...
And there's only one of me, too. There's only a single one.
We only have one Fat Bastard in the studio, and that's Carl Wetter. I'm going to get into his life very shortly. I want to acknowledge the Carolina Theater, our primary sponsor and underwriter for Claudio Speakeasy.
And the people who write my paycheck every week.
So that's right. And when I work at the Carolina Theater, Carl is actually my boss, so I'm actually going to get to put my boss on the grill here. It's pretty cool. I will give you an introduction before I go further and introduce some new events at the Carolina Theater. Carl Wetter is an American singer-songwriter, and we've got him here, guitarist, performer, and record producer. He is a founding member of the band's Fat Bastard Blues Band and 8-Foot Groove. That sounds pretty funky. As well as an occasional member of the Ashley Atkins Band. That sounds a little friendlier. He's a former guitar player with the Corey Parker Band and has recorded, mixed, and or produced albums and demos for Big Pretty and the Red Rockets, Dirty 530, Ashley Atkins Band, Bus, 8-Foot Groove and 7-Minute Bender. That sounds like a drink I'd like to have. He also works at as the house soundman at the Blue Bayou Club in Hillsborough, North Carolina, as well as being the technical manager for the Carolina Theater of Durham, the historic Carolina Theater of Durham.
Yay, CT.
Yes, yes, and that's, of course, we're giving a big shout-out for the sponsorship and the underwriting of Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater here on 103.5 FM. Fat Bastard Blues Band was the winner of the Triangle Blues Society in 2009. I kind of knew that was going to happen. Psychic, man. Blues Challenge is what that was, which allowed the band to compete at the 2010 International Blues Challenge in Memphis, Tennessee, which they did, I believe, in January this year.
In January, yes.
All right, so you're on the hook now, brother.
All right.
Sounds like you're jamming with a bunch of them. We're going to get right back to you. I want to make this big announcement, hear ye, about Bob Nocek, whom I told I'd be making this my opening monologue, who is now the president CEO of Carolina Theater of Durham, Inc. Bob Nocek became president and chief executive officer of the Carolina Theater of Durham on July 1st, taking control of the nonprofit organization that manages the historic city-owned Carolina Theater complex. I'm very excited about the enthusiasm, professionalism, and creativity that Bob brings to the role of CEO of the Carolina Theater, said Paul Brock, chairman of the board of trustees of Carolina Theater of Durham, Inc. I guess I should remember to say Inc. Bob brings great ideas and invaluable experience to this position, and I look forward to his impact on the theater for years to come. Yes, I'm kind of hoping we all do. A 10-year veteran of the entertainment industry with experience in booking, marketing, operations, and ticketing, Nocek joined the CTD staff last year as vice president COO. Cool.
Chief Operating Officer.
Thank you so much. It sounded like a bird song to me. His appointment...
Coo!
Yes, cooing dove. His appointment to the president CEO post was announced in January by the Board of Trustees of the Carolina Theater of Durham. Nocek will be responsible for the success and growth of the 2.5 million organization and the oversight of 16 full-time and more than 50 part-time employees. I'd be one of those. The invisible part-timers. And if you can feel free to chime in there, because you got a better seat there than I do, so you can definitely spill out some beans. Among the first major changes for the Carolina Theater is a multi-year exclusive partnership with Ticketmaster, which we announced here once before, to provide ticketing and related marketing services, which began July 1st. In addition, a search is currently underway to fill two new full-time positions, that being Director of Fundraising and Sponsorship and Director of Audience Services. I need a director of fundraising myself. So I'm totally
so do
open
we all.
Totally open to that at the Speakeasy. Quote again, "We're going to make aggressive moves," Nocek said. "I believe the time is right for us to increase our profile in the market to attract new customers and to provide better experience for those who already know and love the Carolina Theater. And there be many of us." Prior to joining the Carolina Theater, Nocek was assistant general manager, director of sales and marketing for the facility management company SMG at Wachovia Arena at Casey Plaza in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Thank you. He had previously held the position of director of operations and box office manager during more than 5 years with SMG. Previously, Nocek served as program manager for the FM Kirby Center, a 1,800-seat historic performing arts center in Wilkes-Barre. I'm going to get that right eventually. His move to the performing arts came after a 12-year newspaper career covering sports and later entertainment. Nocek, 42, is a native of
Wilkes-Barre.
Thank you. He can say that so much better. PA. He and his partner, Matt Tomko, an artist, reside in North Durham. Theater images as well as headshot of Mr. Nocek are available at carolinatheater.org press. Use password press. So congratulations, Bob.
Yeah.
I promised I'd make mention of this before having the singular fat bastard on.
You know, Bob has got a much more impressive little bio thing written up for him. I got to talk to him about that.
Yeah?
Where is it? It was like, you know, 2 pages. No, I mean,
as opposed to yours.
Yeah, mine's like only some snippets of some, you know, froofy.
And if anybody wants to do a background check on Bob, we actually had him on my show when we were still at the old at the old station.
Right.
And when he actually, right after he just got here, mm-hmm. He had no idea he was heading for the presidency at the time. So you can check that out.
I think that was sort of.
Oh, perhaps. Was that in the wind the entire time?
Yeah, well, the whole thing was that. I guess, you know, Connie was looking for her way to retire from it.
Right.
And so, you know, he was brought on, you know, I think with the understanding that he was going to be moved to that position.
Gotcha. And that would be Connie Campanaro.
Yes.
And she, and
they're both very nice people.
Yes, they are.
There's all sorts of things going on with Bob, but I understand that you're kind of reinventing yourself as we watch.
Well, I decided at some point I got to stop making some money again. I had a brief interruption here about some personal stuff. A friend of mine called me yesterday, guitarist, harmonica player that I performed with in the Virgin Islands, and he's back in the area, Gary Jensen, and has just told me that he's available as a full-time musician if I want to try and get a show back on the road. So I'm going to reinvent myself between extending my culinary services as a chef with entertainment at evening's end and having him maybe just entertain musically throughout the evening. And then me joining him at the evening's end and telling a few stories while I sip a snifter of their best brandy. You know, it's a good way to get to drink.
That sounds like fun.
Give us the yay, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Have you had him on the show here?
Actually, yeah. When John Paul was still my co-host, we had him on one time back. There's I think it's a podcast. It may be an archive. But it's called Caribbean Memories.
Uh-huh.
All the trouble I got into in the Virgin Islands when he was my backup man.
Oh, and you want to do a repeat?
I want to do it all over again, right?
Yes, it was fun once. It'll be even more fun the second time.
Including driving a station wagon late one, about 3 o'clock in the morning on St. Thomas. His girlfriend was driving, and I didn't realize she was 2 sheets to the wind. We ran over a fire hydrant that literally picked up the back end of the station wagon and did a thorough job washing the car, getting rid of the salt spray because we were on Main Street and the ocean's to your right. And she looks, says, "Oh, God, we better call the police. Just keep moving. We're not calling anybody. Go."
Now they know, though.
Now they know.
They'll be after you.
Because they're listening to this particular station right now.
Exactly. Yeah, somebody's catching this pirate radio. And that was during the day when I was chef at Bluebeard's Castle in St. Thomas.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, yes, I am reinventing myself. Decided I need to make some money again and not just slip into pouch potato mode or couch potato mode.
I think you need to get out there and start mixing again.
Yes. That's why I got Carl on, so he can help me get rid of the blues today.
Did you say pouch tomato?
Pouch tomato. That's an interesting one, yes. Pouch tomato. I remember that one. That's the name for an album in the future. So, Carl.
Yes.
Now that I've been put on the spot, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay, then.
You're one of the fat bastards, and that's no reflection on body weight.
Nope. I'm part of the Fat Bastard Blues Band, which, as you said, we won the Triangle Blues Society's competition in May of last year. And we went in January to the the International Blues Competition in Memphis.
That must have been a pretty cool trip.
Oh, man, that was fantastic.
How many of you in the band?
There's typically five of us. There's only four of us that were able to go to Memphis. Dave wasn't, our harmonica player was not able to play the initial competition in Raleigh. But there's five instrument. Of us. As a matter of fact, I should plug that we are actually playing this Friday at the Tavern in Durham right off of 9th Street.
That's right, and I'm going to try to make that.
If you do not know where the tavern is, it is the old Durham Music Loft, right around the corner from everything else on 9th Street.
And I think everybody that knows anything about Durham should know about that place. Pretty famous.
Yep.
So that's coming about this...
That is this Friday.
This Friday.
This Friday.
Do you have a website that people can go to?
You can go
We'll plug that a few times. Might as well go ahead and...
Sure. You can go to the MySpace, myspace.com/FatBastardBluesBand.
Hey, that should be easy enough to remember.
How did you ever come up? Or should I, dare I ask?
I was going to ask that.
Well, it took too long.
I did.
And I'm a little nervous about asking that because I don't know what kind of question and response we're going to get.
There's the long story, I guess, of it is initially there was a guy who I thought would be a good front man for a blues band. This was while I have been and during me working at the Blue Bayou Club in Hillsboro. Mm-hmm. And we were both large men, like over 6 feet tall. You know, I'm close to 300 pounds if I'm not 300 pounds. And
he doesn't look it.
And he's tall. That's
if
why
I wear white
more
and horizontal stripes. There you go.
There we go.
But the initial vision was, you know, okay, I'll find a bunch of other musicians who are all, you know, 6'3" and you know, overweight, and you know, we'll all be fat bastards,
and you'll scare everybody into listening.
Exactly. You know, that didn't really work out with that particular guy. And
you could have just called you guys the Goodfellas.
Well, yeah, but eventually, those blues challenges. There was a couple of them that I actually mixed because I do a lot of live sound as well.
And where was the original challenge actually held? It was somewhere in Raleigh, wasn't it?
The original, like the very first one, I don't know. But the one that we played was at the Berkeley Cafe.
Berkeley Cafe, right.
Yeah. But before that, they had done them in a couple of different venues, and I'd mixed one of them. And I remember the challenge, the five or six bands that played that were all just phenomenal. I mean, it was Mighty Lester, Big Rick and the Bombers, Rocket Band. It was all these really good local bands, and I just remember sitting there thinking, I have no idea who's going to win at all. Josh Pressler actually played that. He's the current president of the Triangle Blues Society.
All right.
Very nice guy.
Wow.
It was just so good that I was like, wow, this is amazing. You know, I was really into it, and it just seemed to me like, you know, over successive years, it was kind of like, you know, okay, now there's these guys. It seemed like every year that the talent level, like the huge show part of it that the bands sort of brought, kind of got less and less every year until like the year before that, I was sort of heard about who was playing and I was like, well, okay, you know, and I thought to myself, it's like, you know, I can probably put together a band in about a month's time that can smoke all those bands. And not to say that I'm like, you know, really, you know, great at it, because I'm actually a fairly modest guy, but you know, I just sort of took it as a challenge. It's like, well, you know, if I think I can
might
as well try to do that. And so I got my friend Tim, who I'd been playing with at Blues Jams for a while. He's the first guy I called, and you know, he and I had been talking about doing a project for a while. And he was like, yeah, let's do it, you know, we'll play some blues, we'll play some, you know, fast-paced ZZ Top-ish kind of stuff, and you know, we'll go from there. And his first question to me after saying that he was into it was, well, we're gonna get Jay to play bass. And the thing about that, Jay is my bass player from Ape Foot Groove. And Jay is a little short guy, so you know, my original intention was, you know, have all these like big guys. I wasn't even really thinking about the Fat Bastard thing at that point.
Well, but you haven't explained how you came by that title.
Well, that's
where you're going. Okay,
yeah, that's I'm getting back to that. Okay. It's like I said, this is a long story arc here. I
understand.
But yeah, Jay is my bass player, you know, from 8 Foot Groove, and you know, originally I was kind of like, well, I kind of want to just do a new thing and have these two sort of separate entities, I was like, well, you know, Jay can hold it down. He's good at it. He's at all the jams and everything. Tim was really excited to try to get Jay in there. And so Jay was into it. And then we got Dave into it, and I got a drummer. Although our current drummer right now, the guy who's playing with us is Kevin Payne, who is also from Apefoot Groove. So I guess, and the, just remind me to ask me about the Ashley Atkins thing, because it seems like, well, I'm gonna
ask you about all of them.
I'll just put it this way: Apefoot Groove, the people I've been playing with for like 13 years, every band that we sort of side project into, it seems like we kind of get into, we all get into that band. Like, I started playing with Ashley, and then she needed a drummer, so I got Kevin. Okay, and then all of a sudden, it's like the three of us backing up Ashley Atkins. So, but I digress.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do. Yes,
but that's okay. You have license to do that on this show.
So we got together, and we were trying to come up with a name for it. And like I said, this was my friend Sherry Johnson, who was in the Blues Society at the time, said that, you know, if I got a band together, that she could, you know, help me put it to them to have us, you know, be part of the competition.
Right,
she would help sponsor us, because, I mean, she was familiar with Apefoot Groove. She liked that stuff. And she's, you know, she said, like, anything you put together would be great. And, you know, just, you know, figure it out. Tell me what it is. And there we go. So I was trying to think of the name of the band, and the only name that I had from that was from the thing that I've been thinking about doing previously. So I was like, well, you know, the name is, you know, offensive enough that, like, if there's anybody out there who, you know, is, you know, like, oh, I really like my music, I really streamlined this way, that, you know, and the name sort of, I think, cuts a divide into people who've never heard you anyway. Because there's, I mean, any musical act, is there's going to be everybody in the world who's not at your house listening to you practice, who's never heard you before. And I wanted a name that would sort of grab people, and it, at the same time, it could, you know, you could tell just from people's reactions who was actually going to like the kind of music that you're going to play anyway, you know, without even necessarily having to listen to the music, you know. So, I mean, we're a more aggressive blues band. We're more, you know, we're energetic, perhaps. Well, maybe not, but, like, you know, we play dirtier stuff, even dirtier guitar tones than a lot of, like, you know, we don't sound like Robert Cray, who's an amazing musician. I went to see him last summer, but
he is good.
You know, but, like, you know, the stuff that he does is not exactly what we do, although we do play a Robert Cray tune. But, you know, but, well, you know, so it's just that thing. It's like, you know, when, you know, we're supposedly, we're going to be playing the Bull Durham Blues Festival in September.
All right.
You know, but that's one of the things that I think that, you know, they're taking issue with, because, you know, I got an email from Diane Pledger.
What, the Fat Bastards?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because...
Well, I'm sure, actually, the fact that I said good morning to the Fat Bastards this morning has got a lot of big people walking over to the station right now.
Well, very, very likely. I heard from Diane Pledger, who's the executive producer of the Bull Durham Blues Festival, and that was one of the questions, like, do you guys go by anything else? Because they're trying to put on a they're trying to put on a family event.
Okay.
You know, and as such, you know, that's the trade-off. If I have a name like that, there's only probably about 5% of the festivals that I'd be able to get the band into in the country. You know, but...
You go Fat Boy Blues or something?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I mean, who are we offending?
Yeah, right.
Is that your aim, to offend?
to get attention.
Not
who the heck
offend,
is this? Who would
yeah.
call themselves this?
Yeah, it's more about, you know, the attention. Like, because, I mean, I could have just called it, you know, Carl Wetter Blues Band, and people have been like, who's that?
Right.
You know, whip-de-doo. You know, I say Fat Bastard Blues Band, and all of a sudden we have 10 minutes of the material to talk about.
You could have gone Bed Wetter Blues Band and got some attention.
You know, actually, hey. You know, hey.
There we go. Blues Band.
That would kind of streamline the amount of material I could do.
That's one. True.
It's like, you know, the songs I could write about.
Everybody bring an umbrella.
Bed Wedding Blues.
so that explains the so that's the title you had in mind already.
It was a title that I'd had for a previous like project that I had been thinking about, and it was the only name I could come up with in time for the competition. And you know, and it did the job.
It worked.
I mean, we did it, and you know, it's even Tim, actually my lead guitar player, told me, he's like, you know, I wasn't, you know, wasn't too keen on it at first, you know, but he's like, whatever. Now he's like, you know, I actually think that was kind of a stroke of genius. He actually really likes
it's
the name.
Well,
now.
We've been laughing about it ever since the first time we were going to have you on. So.
Yeah,
it gets it definitely gets attention. I hate to see you have to drop it for the of all places, Bull Durham Blues.
Well, you know, I mean, it is what it is, and you know, it was something when Diane had sent me that email, you know, it was, first thing I did was start laughing, because that's exactly the kind of reaction that you're sort of going for. Was, you know, that sort of like. You know, that you know, sort of like, whoa, wait, who is that? You know, and you know, it's I mean, I'm sure that even just because the name came up, this isn't particularly going to be an experience that they're going to forget easily. You know, like even next year, like, oh, at least we don't have to deal with a name like that this time around.
Well, actually, when Daddy-O and I went to Cape May to perform Seafarers there, I originally wanted to change the title because I'd used Seafarers for so long, and I wanted to just call the show, name it after one of my pieces, which is called Salt Sea Dogs and Sons of Bitches, and they wouldn't let me do that either.
Right, right.
So sometimes it just doesn't cut the money. Hey, why don't you play us something so we can get a little flavor?
Oh, really?
Or would you like us to play the CD first? We gotta cut on the CD.
I'll play you something. Live. I guess here.
Do you want the second mic here? Let's see.
I don't know. That's up to.
I've
our
got
here.
All the mics up.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So she can We're turn happening. It up and down if she needs to.
This is the solo fat bastard getting ready to jam.
All right. Let me see here. So. I guess I should probably. I'm going to hit the desk with the guitar.
Yeah, you can back up there. I think we got the acoustics will travel well enough.
This song is actually dedicated to my place of other employment besides the Carolina Theater. Before I started the Carolina Theater, I picked up the gig as the house sound engineer for the
Blue Bayou
Club in Hillsboro. And anybody who is very familiar or at least somewhat familiar with the Blue Bayou knows that, you know, they've had, you know, like every other business, you know, their financial troubles go up and down and, you know, the economy slowed down and, you know, and they were kind of worried about closing. And right now it looks like they're at least going to be open through September,
I believe.
I
remember that. Good.
You know, for a while, it's kind of like, you know, I know that the owner is looking to sell the Blue Bayou if he can. And, you know, but he wants to keep it the same vibe. He wants to keep, you know, sort of everything more or less the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just some stuff about it, you know, that was frustrating potential buyers and whatnot. And, after like about a month of uncertainty about whether or not the place was going to stay open, I decided to write a song about it.
All right.
So
it's kind of the cat's cradle of Hillsboro, isn't it?
I wouldn't call it Cat's Cradle because Cat's Cradle is certainly more eclectic.
Okay.
You know, where the Bayou focuses more on blues, you know, Zydeco.
I got you. Okay.
You know, some Cajun stuff and occasionally, you know, country band. Like we've had John Howie and $2 Pistols up there.
Nice.
A couple of times. And anyway, this song is called the Blue Bayou Blues. If I can remember how to play this.
I hope
this here.
The Blue Bayou's tuning in.
Yeah. Let's see here. I do have that little one word in this song, so not to offend anybody.
George Carlin said it was okay.
Say it fast and slur it.
Yeah. Oh, not now.
You're good. You're good.
Not so long ago in this quaint little town, you couldn't wet your whistle, shake your booty around. Baby, you might say that at night there was nothing to do, until a Mr. Gary Lee had the foresight to see a place where music and booze might just be the place to be. He found himself the owner of a place called the Blue Bayou. But now Mr. Lee is laid off and the money's gotten stale. We've hit the recession, now the club is up for sale. And I tell you now, baby, I've got those Blue Bayou Blues. I've seen Michael Burks play there, Rosella Day and Tinsley Ellis. But of course, I'm biased because they also pay my ass. I may not know it now, but I've got those Blue Bayou Blues. Remember Kristen? Pally. And I don't like to brag, but I remember that one night that Jay, he dressed up in drag. And now, baby, baby, I've got those Blue Bayou Blues. There was a buyer once, but now he's kicking and bitching, cause the mean old landlord won't let him put in a kitchen. Now, baby, baby, I've got those Blue Bayou Blues. So now everyone who can hear this, who likes dancing and drinking, call up that antique shop and ask him, what were you thinking? And the
maybe that way we can still save the Blue Bayou. I know it's dark, it looks dirty, like it's been wholly abused. And it'll always be one of my favorite venues. And I hope it stays around and I can lose my Blue Bayou blues. I know it's dark, it looks dirty, like it's been wholly abused. But it'll always be one of my favorite venues. And I hope it stays around and I can lose my blues. I hope it stays around and I can lose my blues. And I hope it stays around and I can lose my Blue Bayou blues.
That fat bastard is good.
You are great.
You are wonderful, buddy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To lay another one on us, I'm ready for another jam.
I was going to say, like, you know, if you guys get into financial trouble, I might have to write a song about that.
That's right. WCOM, here we come. I know we need the help. If you got another one you'd like to lay on us, man, do it. Because you got us warmed up now.
I can try to do this other song. I do have a track.
And you wrote this last one.
I wrote that last one. This one I did not write. This is my sort of take on a Canned Heat song. Which is their take on some old stuff too. But you know, blues is all about recycling itself.
It's always somebody's taking something, right?
But this is I guess let me see if I can do this from memory.
It's okay. We won't know. Just slur it.
All right, nice. See. Almost. Yeah, well. Yes, I'm tired of crying. I'm so tired of crying, but I'm out on the road again. I'm on the road again. I ain't got no woman just to call my special friend. This would be really great here to have a Dave on harmonica. Dave, where are
you? Hey, imagine harmonica.
Now the first time I traveled out in the rain and snow. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Carl Wetter. And I know we bounced over into the red a little bit, so I apologize if we came across a little loud, but we'll fine tune that for the podcast.
Yes. You're the one that's supposed to be watching that now.
Well, you know, I'm talking about the instrumentation.
Yes,
here.
That's right.
But do we need to adjust anything?
I'm not adjusting a thing.
We'll just keep that distance.
You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy.
And Radio Theater on WCOM 103.5 FM. Thank you, Carl.
Hey, no problem.
And that was Carl Wetter. And hey, I want to find out some more about all the other bands you're involved with.
Sure.
Ape Foot Groove. Man's got it in the wrist right now.
That
was a good jam, both of them.
Thank you. Ape Foot Groove is a band that I've been playing with since I lived in New York, actually. We all...
Where in New York?
Up in the upstate Syracuse area.
All right.
Nice. We decided that... Well, basically, we all graduated in May. This is May 6, I believe, 1996.
Mm-hmm.
We all were... Syracuse is a big school. Syracuse University is a really large school. Many students, and we were all in different... different schools and colleges inside the university, and we all graduated at different locations. But we all essentially walked out, which, you know, in my mind is we all walked out of our individual ceremonies all at the exact same moment. Because we all had the same epiphany, because as soon as we walked out of those buildings, keep in mind this is May, New York, it was snowing.
Uh-huh.
And we all said, no. And you know, we're going somewhere else. So basically, my friend Kevin Donahue, who was our lead guitar player at the time, just rented a car, drove up and down the East Coast, and pulled into Chapel Hill, and said, "Would you really like to know what the impetus of us was for choosing this particular locale?"
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
the impetus for us choosing this particular locale.
This place.
We drove down Franklin Street.
It was next to Carrboro. That's what did it.
Well, we knew Chapel Hill and Carrboro and you know, Raleigh, Durham. You know, it was a pretty good, vibrant music scene here. There's college towns, lots of colleges. And we wanted to, you know, move into, you know, that same intellectual environment and all that. We checked out many other places. But when we drove down Franklin Street, we're looking around. And, like, I just, you know, started, you know, looking at the towns. Like, Kevin, look at all the girls.
I know, that's what drew me here.
And you know, and that really, I think, might have been what clinched it, because you're like, hey, maybe we should check this out. You know, consequently, we've all met people here and gotten married in the area and everything. So, well, I didn't get married in the area, but I married somebody I met in the area. So
you pretty much just split from New York.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
that was a pretty
good
dare.
Here. I mean, that was 96.
And so, how did the name Ape Foot Groove come about?
Well, the name Ape Foot Groove is actually a sort of a trick of a graphic that I can't show you because, you know, we're on radio.
Uh-huh.
But
just hold it close to the mic. It's okay.
my friend John from high school had a band called the Barefoot Gravediggers. And
that sounds bluesy.
Well, not too bluesy. I mean, they were a very, very good band. I mean, mm-hmm. even just being a high school band, it was... Like, I mean, my perspective is skewed having gone to school and grown up with them doing that. But even so, like, I still listen to that record. And, I mean, if you can find John Ludington, he is an amazing songwriter. He's doing great stuff still. He lives out in California now. But, I mean, he's doing fantastic work. And the Barefoot Gravediggers started a lot of that. And, I mean, even that record, you know, imperfections that it may or may not have, it's still, like, one of my favorite listens. So
All right.
Just pop that in and just... You know, sing along and, you know, and it's great. However, the album cover for that, it was called Chewing Lessons de España. There was a magic lamp kind of thing, and there was smoke billowing out of the magic lamp, and it was the smoke was forming the letters that said Barefoot Gravediggers. But it looks good, but it doesn't look exactly like a bee or whatever. And I was doing a radio show in college. And we had started the band, and we were trying to figure out what to call it. And my co-DJ, Tony, at the time, picked up that CD as I brought it in because I like to spin local music when I could. And he looked at it, and he's like, who is this, 8-Foot Groove? And I looked at the cover, and that's almost exactly what it looks like on the cover. So I'm like, no, but I think he got it.
Yeah,
and,
man.
And from then on, we were 8-Foot Groove.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, you're involved in a few others. Explain all of them, Lucy. You got what? You're part of like four different bands.
Oh, I'm with my friend Ashley Atkins. I've been her occasional guitar player for a while. I actually recorded her album. I tracked all the electric guitars on that album. Wow. She's a really good friend. She's a great songwriter in her own right here too.
She performed locally.
Okay. She does. I haven't been able to do much with her lately because of, you know, I'm doing the blues thing right now.
Right.
She does some great stuff. And so, yeah, like I said, you know, I started playing guitar with her, and, you know, she has a sort of rotating cast of musicians. You know, she can call up anybody, you know, say, hey, do you want to play this gig? And,
That's cool.
After I had to turn down about five of them, you know, she started getting other guitar players to sit in and all that. But which is, you know, perfectly fine.
Sure.
You know, we needed a drummer one time and we couldn't get anybody, she couldn't get any of the normal people. And so I said, well, why don't we call Kevin Payne? And, you know, he's my drummer for Apple Groove. He's good. Let's get him in here. So I did. And all of a sudden, you know, okay, he's part of Ashley Atkins' band kind of too. And they needed a bass player. I was like, well, Jay's not doing anything. Hey, let's get Jay in there too. And, you know, and so it's it suddenly became, you know, Ashley Atkins being backed up by 8 Foot Groove. I mean, it didn't sound like 8 Foot Groove because we were playing her stuff, but
right.
But yeah, I mean, it's yeah. But she has a lot. Like I said, she has a lot of people who will play with her. So it's not. You go to see her, you may not necessarily see us.
And what's her musical influences?
She probably wouldn't want me to answer this.
Oh, okay. Well, we won't touch that. I was just wondering. It was cross.
She has an element of folk. She has some elements of rock.
Wondering, yeah.
The easy way to describe it is kind of Liz Phair and Lisa Loeb kind of stuff.
Okay.
But that's in the same way sort of detracting from it as well. But yeah, you can look up, I think it's AshleyAtkinsMusic.com or AshleyAtkinsBand.com, something like that.
And give us
she's got a MySpace page as well. You can look her up and you can hear the tracks on that.
Give us your .com again.
MySpace.com/FatBastardBluesBand.
That's it.
And likely, if you want to check out 8 Foot Groove, 8 Foot Groove is myspace.com/8 Foot Groove. Hey.
And all that music samples?
I do have to say, because people get the first part of the name wrong, they say 8 Foot Groove a lot. Oh. Matter of fact, there was a band in the western part of the state for a while who called themselves 6 Foot Groove after having heard our name. I was like, that's a great idea. Let's do that. Change it around. But yeah, ape is in monkey, foot is in the feet, groove is in the boogie.
Hey, so. Hey, that's right. I can see it now. I see this. Got this image of this gorilla just doing the twist.
Yeah, if we get a painting of that,
give that gorilla a guitar, man. Let's call him Congo. Hey, so have I missed one, or have you explained them all?
I don't know. What else did I put on there?
Let me get back to that. Hold on.
Let's see.
You, 8 Foot Groove, Corey Parker.
Oh yeah, Corey. He's out of Raleigh. He's actually the son of Maceo Parker. He needed a guitar player for a little while to fill in. I played with them for a little bit, did a couple of gigs. My playing wasn't quite, the right fit for him though. We both sort of knew that, but, he did, the last gig I played with him, he called me up and said, hey, I need a guitar player for tonight. The guy that we've been using can't make it. And I said, yeah, sure. And he was playing he's playing at the Arts Center for the big music festival thing, the Carbon Music
right,
Fest.
Right.
And I said, yeah, sure, why not? And, you know, I went in and we rehearsed and, set up. And then we started the gig, and about, you know, midway through it, his dad walks on the stage and stands next to me and starts blowing his saxophone. So I'm like, that's Maceo Parker. All the whole time I'm thinking, that's Maceo Parker. Don't screw up. Don't screw up. Don't screw up. Maceo Parker's right there, man. Don't screw up. Don't screw up. Don't screw up. Don't solo. Don't solo. Don't solo. Maceo Parker's playing. Don't solo. Don't. Oh, I solo. No, no. It was
this guy takes pressure well, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what I look like. You know, because I was like, oh my god, that's Maceo Parker. Pretty cool. Yeah, because
somebody took a picture.
One of my favorite live albums is Life on Planet Groove, and 8 Foot Groove covered that version of, I can't even think of it now, what the name of the song is, Pass the Peas. We used to cover that version of Pass the Peas, like their actual version, as much as we could. Sometimes we'd have a horn section, we could do like the whole big thing, and... this is like, you know, a guy whose music I've been listening to him, James Brown records, and he's like, he's right there. Like, you know, I'm thinking, this is the closest I'm ever going to get to James Brown. It's Maceo Parker. So, So that was cool. And Corey's got a lot of good music. He's the touring MC with his dad. So if you hear any Maceo Parker all stuff, right, and you hear an MC playing with it, that's Corey. Yeah,
that's cool.
And he's a really nice guy. The whole family is a huge family, but everybody in the family that I've met so far is a very nice.
Yeah,
they're very cool.
And then you got Dirty 530. What's that?
Well, that's not my band. That's a local Chapel Hill band that they track some stuff at their house, and they wanted me to
just somebody you work with occasionally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I just miss it. I think they may not be around anymore. It's just too bad because they were one of the few live hip hop acts that that I thought was really good. There's like two or three really good hip hop acts, live acts, mm-hmm, here. They were one of them, and you know, they were a lot of fun. The other one actually is Mosadi Music. Charlotte Ammons, who you should try to get on the show. She lives in Durham, too. She's a fantastic performer.
Really?
Yeah.
What style?
It's hip-hop. Yeah, okay. And you know, she does live band hip-hop. And gotcha. A lot of hip-hop is done with, like, tracks and not necessarily CD, but they'll have some sort of way to reproduce the music, you know, right, and it's not necessarily DJ all the time. So, I mean, it's not a lot of them are, and I like seeing, like, you know, the DJs who can actually cut the live records,
yeah,
but,
right,
like, a lot of it's just kind of, like, playing the track, and the guys do their thing, and whatever, and Charlotte actually goes to the trouble to have a live band with her, and I mean, she always picks really amazing musicians, they're a lot of fun to watch. I like to mix them when I can too, but yeah.
Well, make her aware of the show because I would love to talk to her about that.
Sure.
And then you've also got Bus, BUS. So is that?
Yeah, we don't have to keep going through all this stuff.
Well, we're done. That's it.
The Bus is the more recent incarnation of Big Pretty and the Red Rockets.
Okay.
I've done a couple of records for them. That's my friend Leon's Bus is my friend Leon Godwin, who is now his main thing now is called I can't remember. Oh yeah, they're now called the Dogwood Daddy, and it's him and his wife. He's playing acoustic guitar and she's playing drums. And they'd actually Bus and Dogwood Daddy and Big Pretty and the Red Rockets also featured Joe Kwan, who is the cello player currently on tour with the Avett Brothers.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Small world in the art world. Now, you had something on CD.
I did.
We could consider playing.
Yeah, this track is called Walk to You, which originally was going to have it as a sort of a joke thing, because the whole thing is like, I'm going to walk to you, baby. Yep, I'm going to walk. And he's like, because I don't mind walking. And, you know, like, you know, you only live this far down the road. You know, it's not that far. I don't have any money for gas. You know, and like, the whole joke end of it was supposed to be like, because I don't actually have a car. I can't drive. I have to walk.
And South Africa used to use a bicycle.
The joke wasn't really that funny. I couldn't make it work within a context of a song and actually have it be something that was humorous all that much. So I just turned it into a more straight ahead song. But yeah, this track is the...
What's the track number?
Track 9, I believe.
Track 9 would be it on the CD. And this is something that actually we did this in my garage. And this is just like me multi-tracking in my garage just to have a demo or something for us listen to. And this one particular take actually came out really well, playing Good. Wise. I don't know how it's going to sound on the radio, but
we'll see.
Well, we'll see.
Here we go.
Talk to you. Oh,
messages ain't that far.
Yay!
It ain't that far, baby.
You like that?
Hey. I'm walking.
Tim Collins on guitar. That would be Gary Mitchell's the drummer on that one, and Jason Simons on bass. No harmonica on that, though. I should have brought something that had David on it.
I threw my socks away. I got my shoes on. I'm walking over there, baby. So how did we catch you at the Carolina Theater? I say that only because I preceded you, but then I was gone for a long time.
That's true. Yes, my day job is the technical manager of the Carolina Theater of Durham. Wonderful place to work, wonderful place to be, see a movie, see a show. I love the building. I'm sort of like Jamin, you know. I walked in, I was like, wow, it's a really, you know, cool place.
Yeah, that's how I fell in love with it the first time.
But what had happened essentially was that my wife was working for a temp agency.
I remember
your
wife being there, yeah.
And she was temping there and had talked to Jamin and said, oh, like, you know, my boyfriend is my wife, Rebecca Witter. Hi, honey, I love you.
Hello.
She basically talked to James and said, yeah, because he needed something, you know, for some crew call he couldn't meet or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, I was like, well, my boyfriend does, you know, live sound and, you know, and whatever, and he might be able to help you out. And so, but I went to basically pick her up, and he found out that I was on my way to pick her up, and we were sitting in the front office when I walked in. I was like, yeah, I'm here to see Rebecca. And then we just started talking. He said something about, like, you know, lighting. I asked him, I think, if it was a Leco or not, you know, so, you know, some theater terminology. Yeah. And, you know, and basically right there, he's like, well, you want to start working here? And that was back in, you know, late 90s or so. So, I mean, I did a small stint as a stagehand at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved a bunch of times, and they didn't have my phone number, and I kept forgetting to give it to them. I was working, actually, in a lot of some local restaurants. I should plug that too.
Yes, we have some of the culinary in common.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, I used to work for Spanky's and 411 West, which are owned by the Chapel Hill Restaurant Management Group.
Right, I remember Spanky's. Yeah,
yeah, and very, very nice people. Very, they're great too. But yeah, so I eventually got to the point where it's like, well, I don't like if I. You know what it was? Was that. I had married my girlfriend, my now wife,
mm-hmm.
and we got pregnant. And I said to myself, you know, it's like, you know, if I'm still working in the restaurant when the baby comes, there's probably not going to be any chance of me getting out of the restaurant. And there's all this other
feeling.
Stuff
yeah.
that I wanted to do. You know, I was doing a lot of live sound. I was doing, you know, a lot of recording and doing a lot of other stuff that wasn't restaurant. And I actually looked at my finances, and I was making as much doing the other stuff part-time as what I was making doing the kitchen management
mm-hmm.
full-time. So it's like, okay, well, now or never. And, you know, so I quit
and
the restaurant
have...
thing. And then I went back to the Carolina Theater and said, like, hey, I'm available for part-time stuff. And John Elliott was there.
Right.
And John, unbeknownst to me, 3 months later, I mean, he had been looking, you know, he's been thinking about getting out of that particular job and focus more on graphic design.
Right.
And
which he's very good at.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, I was working there for another 2 months or so. And, you know, just part-time, and he took me out to lunch one day. He's like, you know what? I'm quitting, and I'm going to be recommending you for my job. And so I'm like, really? I hadn't expected it, but, you know, the baby hadn't come yet.
I remember you were caught kind of off guard. I do remember that.
So, you know, went through an interview process and all that, but, you know, with a baby coming on the way and everything, it wasn't something I could turn down. You know, I was like, oh, salary? Benefits? Oh, okay, great, yeah.
Get practical? So, wow, okay.
Yeah, I know. And now I'm here, and I've been working there for... I think this is the beginning of my fourth year now.
I would say so, yeah, easily. Yeah, you know, I was just going to commend you for being able to do the restaurant work as well as all that other stuff, because the restaurant work in itself is so energy depleting that it almost demotivates doing anything artistic.
Well, I had a good, this is the reason, one of the reasons why I appreciate the Chapel Hill restaurant people. Especially Spanky's for, you know, what I've been able to do there. Because when I went in, they asked me if I wanted to do the kitchen manager position at the time, and I gave them the caveat. It's like, well, I mean, I had come down here with a groove. Mm-hmm. I was still playing gigs. I was still doing a lot of live sound. It's like, well, I'll do that, but I really just want to have, like, almost banker's hours Monday through Friday, 9 to 5.
Right.
That's unheard of in restaurants.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
But they said, okay. I don't know why they said okay.
Yeah,
they could have said no.
Cool.
And but you know, they said that's fine.
And so I had my weekends and nights free for rehearsing and doing sound at clubs. Because I had actually started doing sound at over here where Milltown is. They used to be Temple Ball. Okay. That's where I was first housed when I was doing live sound.
You remember Papagayo's?
Yeah, I remember Papagayo's.
I ran the one in Raleigh.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, and I was doing the same thing, you know, trying to stick to those hours and not go too far over so I could still have an artistic life as well.
But. Yeah, exactly.
And I guess it's great for the blues because you're so darn exhausted by the time you get on stage, you're going to look like Joe Cocker no matter what. So, back to the Carolina.
I don't smoke enough to sound like him, though.
Is he still alive?
I think he is, yeah.
It's amazing to me, he's not even a singer. He's just an expressionist, but he's good at what he does. So now this is your fourth year, and what are some of your favorite things that have happened at the Carolina? I noticed that you have a couple of guitars in your office. One of the things I like about this guy is I can tell him what folks I'd like to stage manage, and every once in a while I get it.
Yeah.
Every once in a while. Sometimes I really push, like I really wanted to work Al Jarreau. But you've got a couple of guitars in your office signed by several people.
Yeah, I have several guitars, none of which are like really that expensive or anything. So, but some of the cheaper ones that I've found or I've had good necks. I mean, I just have a lot of stuff, generally speaking, that like wasn't being used, and then it just had another epiphany. It's like I should bring a couple of those in and just have people sign them.
Have these legends here. Sign them exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I have Derek Trucks and Arlo Guthrie on some. Who else? Lou Reed is on one. Joan Baez is on one. Ruthie Foster and Yorma from Hot Tuna are on one of them. Kurt Russell, I think. It's a nice little thing to have there.
They're sitting in his office when you walk in.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Sitting right there. Not that, they're worth any more because anybody signed anything, but yes.
Hey, I would say those signatures do give them an additional value.
The first guitar I brought in actually was something my sister had given to me, and so I had a bunch of people sign it, and over the course of the year, and I gave it back to her at Christmas with a CD of a mix CD basically of tracks from all the artists who had signed it. So here you go. Here's the guitar back, and here's everybody famous who signed the guitar for me, then now for you, and you can put it up on your wall or whatever. And so.
By the way, you're listening to WCOM 103.5 FM. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater here in the studio with my guest, Carl Wetta of the Fat Bastard Blues Band, and then some.
He called me a guest.
I did. And, of course, I've got my lovely co-host, Audrey Layden.
All here,
and we're not too far away from saying bye-bye, but we've got a few more minutes. So I'm going to wrap it up with
a few more
things about the Carolina.
next thing I'm doing is Friday, where I have the...
Your show.
The show at the Tavern in Durham. Off of Markham Ave, right around the corner, right off of 9th Street in the Tavern Durham, Fat Bastard Blues Band, probably start about 9:30, 10 o'clock.
And plug your website and all that one more time.
MySpace.com/Fat Bastard Blues Band.
And hopefully sometime this fall we'll have a CD we can all get, because it's a great sound you've got there.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. We're working on getting some more tracks down and getting some more of the original stuff done so that I can hand it out to people and have them played and have people go, ooh, listen, those are them Fat Bastards.
That's right. And if you forget all those websites he just talked about, you can always just send it to me, because I connect with the guy quite a few times a week when there is work, and that's claudioarts.com.
Okay.
That's right, so, it is.
Yes, it is. And there's a radio show link there you can find as well.
Yeah, it's too bad. Somebody tried to call on the phone. We weren't able to
hear. We were too buried in music at the time.
Well, we'll go see. Yeah. We'll see if they left us a message after.
Yeah, we can do that. Well, listen, I want to thank you for being on, Bud. And, this won't be the first time I tell everybody when they come on the Speakeasy that just makes you part of the family. So it's an ongoing relationship from this point on.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for being here. Carl Wetta and Audrey, thank you for co-hosting. And I think we'll plop on some music for John Paul to come on in.
Okay.
Join us again next week. We're going to have a call in, and I'll surprise you with what that is. Until then... This is Claudio of the Speakeasy, signing off. Cheers.